than right here up against Thanksgiving. Amen. And I thank the Lord for this holiday that we've got here. It's probably one of the best holidays we've got here in America. Of course, you know, Christmas is celebrating the birth of Christ, and we all understand that. But as far as an American holiday, it's a holiday that was forged out of giving thanks to God for what He had done for some folks. And He said, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. No matter what's going on, there's always something to be thankful for. Amen. But my, I thank God for His Word tonight. How about you? Oh, yeah. I'm going to tell you what, there's times, friend, when, we need a word from God always to live. Amen. And I think sometimes we need to push everything else aside until we get a word from God. Oh, my. Well, it's so good to be here tonight, and I appreciate the opportunity to be here. We appreciate getting to stay here, Brother and Sister Nichols. They treat us so good. It almost makes me not know how to quite respond here. They just are wonderful people. We appreciate the way they've treated us. And just one of these days, if I ever pastor, brother, I'm going to pay you back. If I can afford it, amen. I'll have to take out a loan. But anyways, he's been awful good to us. No, I'm just clowning around a little bit. But I want you to know we appreciate it. And we're glad to be here with you folks. I sat down here and as church was beginning to start here, and I sat down and I looked over these windows, and I thought I knew for sure it was snowing when I came in. And I remembered this is a church where the sun always shines. And that it don't get me like it used to, but it still does for a split second. For a split second, it got me here. But we're glad to be here tonight. And wasn't that a wonderful service we had Sunday night? Just felt the presence of God. You know, I don't know. Sometimes I ramble, and maybe I need to hush and let my wife sing before I get myself in a mess up here. But, you know, I don't know. I don't know why I'm saying this. I just kind of feel like saying it. So if I tear something up, help me fix it here, all right? I'm getting everybody nervous now, ain't I? But, you know, I've traveled, evangelized for about 10 years. And, you know, I don't know if I've ever got homesick before. Anybody here ever been homesick before? You ever been homesick before? Now, it's all right if you've ever felt that way. Sunday. I don't know what it was, but I just got feeling homesick. You ever felt that way? I don't know if I've ever felt that way before, but I just got feeling homesick. And boy, you're wondering what in the world is he doing up here? What in the world is he saying? I don't know why I just got feeling it. In fact, I told my wife, but you know what? We got in here Sunday night, and the Spirit of God got to move. And I don't know if it's doing anything for anybody, but I just felt like saying it here. And you know what? That just lifted for me. Well, I'm going to tell you why. Because I got into a place where I felt at home. And you know where it's at? In the presence of God. And I said all that to say this. I appreciate the way you folks get in and worship God. Of course, it's a lot like we do back at home, and that helps me. But you know what? There's a place I'm homesick for that I've never been to before. Sometimes I get to walking in this world, Brother Nichols, and I kind of feel like Abraham. You know, where are you going, Abraham? Well, I'm really not quite sure. Well, what'd you leave Ur of the Chaldees for? Well, I heard God speak to me and tell me to come out here. He was going to give me an inheritance, really, to my posterity. I'm not going to really gain this land. Everywhere my foot treads, He's going to give it to my seed after me. What are you doing wandering around here, living in a tent, living like a nomad? I'm looking for something. What are you looking for? I can't quite describe it. All I know to tell you is this: it's a city whose builder and maker is God. I don't feel at home anywhere in this world anymore. Can I hear an amen? I'll buy me a little plot of ground to bury my family in, but my eyes are on the skies, and I'm a citizen, amen, not of her, not of this land that I'm walking on. I feel the Holy Ghost here right now, but I'm a citizen of a different place, and I'm looking forward to meeting Him one of these days.
Well, hallelujah. Well, that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for heaven. You know what? Any price you pay to go to heaven will be the biggest bargain you've ever got in your life. I ain't never regretted one thing I've had to lay down to get closer to God. Amen. Or to hang on to God. And I'm going to tell you what, there's some things that I've laid down that I couldn't give you scripture and verse. I couldn't give you black and white. But I could tell you the Spirit of God dealt with me. And I felt like if I didn't let go of it, that it might pull me away from the hand of Him that was leading me along. I guess I could. I'm feeling like I might could give you a scripture and verse right now. Laying aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race which is set before us. My, my, my.
Come on, son.
I'm feeling good. I ain't even read a text yet. Hallelujah. I tell you what, I'm glad to be here, brother. I mean it. Don't you feel hard at me? Don't you feel hard at me for telling you I felt homesick? Please don't feel hard at me. Amen. Amen. I got cured when I got in the presence of God with you folks here. Huh? My, my, my. Won't we lift our hands and let God have His way? Dear Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah. I'm heaven, heaven bound, I ain't got long to stay. Heaven, heaven bound, and I ain't got long to stay. I'm heaven, heaven bound, I ain't got long to stay. Heaven, heaven bound, I ain't got long to stay. I'm heaven, heaven bound, I ain't got long to stay. Heaven, heaven bound, I ain't got long to stay. Oh, the devil's mad, but I am glad.
I ain't got long to stay.
Oh, he lost the soul that he thought he had.
I ain't got long to stay.
I'm heaven, heaven bound, I ain't got long to stay.
No,
I'm heaven, heaven bound, I ain't got long to stay. Oh, heaven, heaven bound, I ain't got long to stay. Oh, I'm heaven, heaven bound, I ain't got long to stay. Praise Him, praise Him. I'm going to praise Him in the morning. Praise Him in the noontime. Praise Him, praise Him. Praise Him when the sun goes down. I believe I'll praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him in the morning. Praise Him in the noontime. Praise Him. I'm going to praise Him.
I'm going to praise
Him when the sun goes down. Praise Him in the morning. Praise Him in the noontime. Praise Him. I'm going to praise Him. Praise Him when the sun goes down. I'm going to love Him. Love Him. Love Him in the morning. Love Him in the noontime. Love Him. Love Him.
I'll love Him
when the sun goes down. I'm going to praise Him.
Praise Him.
Praise Him in the morning. Praise Him in the noontime. Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him when the sun goes down. Oh, I feel like praising, praising Him. I feel like praising, praising Him. I'm going to praise Him in the morning. Praise Him all day long. I feel like praising, praising Him. Hallelujah.
Why don't you lift your hands and let's praise God.
Hallelujah.
Sure appreciate the Lord tonight, and I thank Him for saving me and filling me with the Holy Ghost, and I just have a lot to thank Him for, Brother Nichols, and appreciate this church. I called home today, and my phone won't hardly go through in the trailer, so I had to stand outside in the snow. And I talked to my mom, and I said, Mom, I wish you'd come meet these people and come and be with them, you know, in church. And they're wonderful people. I just bragged on y'all, and I hope she can sometime. But I just have so much to thank God for, and I've seen so much in my short lifetime what the Lord's done. And I was thinking of my mother and what a prayer warrior she is, and I sure appreciate her. And seemed like when I got married and we kind of moved out and I went to Bible school for a while and was gone, but I realized how much I leaned on my mom, you know, and I thought, boy, I got to stand on my own 2 feet here. Not that I didn't, but I went to mom, you got to pray, you know, and I thought, you know, I don't want Hannah saying, call Mamaw. I mean, I do, but I want her to say, pray, Mom, you know, and I realized how much I leaned on her, but I thank the Lord for a heritage that I have. And you know, if you're just a praying mother, you don't realize. You just don't realize what that does for your children. And my mom's not a preacher. And she teaches Sunday school, but she's a very quiet lady. But what a woman of God. And I thank the Lord that I've seen things that I have seen in my lifetime. And I don't know if I've testified about her here or not. I'm not real sure. But I've seen so many miracles. And I told Kevin the other day, I said, you know, if something happens to my mother, I want her diary. And he said, oh, I don't know if you want that or not, Kim, you know, because he knows they'd kill it. But I do. I want to read those pages that what the Lord's done and how He's moved, you know. Because even right now, I look back and I say, Lord, I know what You did for my mom. I've seen Your work. And I know You can work in my life right now. I remember a time when I was young, I don't know if I have testified about this, but I remember a time when my dad didn't want us going to church, and my mom is not mechanical at all, and he hid the keys or something. I'm not sure what he did with them, and we all got in the car, all four of us, and she didn't have any keys, and she told my brother, she said, Rob, go in the house and get a key, get any key. And she said, Lord, if You do this for me, I won't tell nobody. But I didn't say I wouldn't tell nobody. So I'm telling you. And she got that key and put it in ignition, and we went to church. I don't know if that was the lawnmower key or what it was, but the Lord started that car. And I've seen so many miracles that have just made my faith just rise, you know, and what God can do and what prayer can do. What prayer is a powerful key. That's why the devil says you're too tired. You don't have energy to pray or get you something, you know, your mind on something else, because it's a powerful key. And I've just seen so much in my lifetime, you know, I wish I could remember it all. But I praise God for a godly heritage and a godly mother that I have. And, you know, I thought, I want to be like her. I just sure don't want to go through the trials and the hard times she did, you know. But I want that touch of God. I want that fire. I want that fire inside burning. And, you know, this world is hungry for the fire. We've been in churches where they don't live real good, you know, and they're starving for that fire. They're starved to death. And then when you say, yeah, but you got to live this way to get a taste of it, they say, I don't want that. But they're so hungry. And I'm hungry for more of God. I'm hungry for more of the fire. But I just feel the Lord so sweet here tonight, and I praise Him for what He's done for me. And this song says, if He never does another thing for me, He's done enough. And that's true. You know, and He's going to keep on doing things for us. But if He never does another thing, we've got a whole list of stuff He's already done. And I just praise God that I know Him. I praise God. I know Him. I'm glad Christmas isn't a mess, but it's Christ, you know. I'm glad that I can celebrate Christmas and be so happy that I have Jesus inside of me. And Thanksgiving, too, how thankful we are. I just appreciate the Lord. Appreciate this church.
If He never does another thing for me, He's done enough. So many times He's wiped my tears away. He's done so much. I am so far behind on all the praise He deserves for what He's already done. If He never does another thing for me, He's done enough. If He never does another thing for me, He's done enough. So many times He's wiped my tears away. He's done so much. I am so far behind on all the praise He deserves for what He's already done. If He never does another thing for me, He's done enough. Did I remember to praise You when You took my pain away? How about the time You lifted up my head, held me through another day? Many prayers You've answered, Lord, and I owe You so much praise. If He never does another thing for me, He's done enough. So many times He's wiped my tears away. He's done so much. I am so far behind on all the praise He deserves for what He's already done. If He never does another thing for me, He's done enough. Oh, I never could have made it without You by my side. I would have stumbled in the darkness if You had not been my guide. You gave me a song in the darkest of night. If He never does another thing for me, He's done enough. So many times He's wiped my tears away. He's done so much. I am so far behind
on all the praise
He deserves for what He's already done. If He never does another thing for me, He's done enough. I am so far behind on all the praise He deserves for what He's already done. If He never does another thing for me, He's already done so much at Calvary. He's done enough.
Hallelujah.
Lift your hands tonight and let's thank God for all He's done for us. The Gospel of Mark tonight. Thank You for all Your hospitality. Thank You for Your giving. And I know the Lord will bless You for it. It's more blessed to give than receive. And we generally are on the receiving end. But I want to say we appreciate how You've blessed us. And I know the Lord bless you. Mark chapter 8. Would you lift a hand tonight and ask God to help us? Father, thank You so much for Your mercy. Oh, God.
Oh, God.
thank you for your grace. Lord, I thank you for your people. I need you, God. I need your anointing, your inspiration, your unction. Oh, God. Oh, God. You see this precious people that are here. You know every heart. You know every need. Would you speak to us, God? Oh, Lord. Help me, Lord, to say just what you'd have me to. Nothing more, nothing less. Meet us in an altar tonight, and we'll praise you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen. Amen. Mark chapter number 8 tonight, we'll begin reading in verse number 14. Now, the disciples had forgotten to take bread. Neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf. And he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. Now, here's the setting. They've just finished feeding the multitude. 4,000's been fed. Not very long before this, 5,000 has been fed. And Jesus tells them to get in the ship. They begin to sail to the other side. They begin to analyze what they've got here. And all of a sudden they realize, oh, no bread. Nothing to eat. And on the heels of this, Jesus begins to talk to them. Doesn't have anything to do with whether they've got bread or not. And he begins to instruct them, and he says to them, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. Verse 16, and they reasoned among themselves, saying, it's because we have no bread. Look out, we're going to get a sermon on forgetting the bread today. That couldn't have been the farthest thing from the truth. I wonder how many times our minds are so preoccupied with what is before us and what we can't figure out, that we miss what God is trying to tell us. You're going to help me preach here tonight. Amen.
Oh, here, their minds are preoccupied and they're missing the message. I don't want to miss the message tonight. How about you?
God, help us tonight. Help us, Lord. And He will. And when Jesus knew it, He said unto them, He perceives their thoughts. He says unto them, why reason ye? Because you have no bread. Perceive ye not yet, neither understand? Have ye your heart yet hardened? Having eyes, see ye not? They're getting a sermon, all right. Having ears, hear ye not? And do ye not remember? Sometimes we forget what we need to remember. And we remember what we need to forget. Hello? When I break the 5 loaves among 5,000, how many baskets full took ye up? What'd they say? 12. Amen. Help me here. Answer me on that. What'd they say? 12. And when the 7 among 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? And what'd they say? 7. And he said unto them, how is it that ye do not understand? I want to preach on something here tonight, if the Lord will help me, that we're all going to get more acquainted with over the course of the next few days. Amen. Leftovers. Amen. That's what I'm going to preach about here tonight. If God will be my help. I'd say somewhere around Friday or Saturday, we're all going to be wanting to go down to Donato's with Brother Mike here. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Because we will have eaten turkey about every way you could think of eating turkey. Amen. Turkey omelets. Have you ever had a turkey omelet? I have. Amen. After Thanksgiving. Amen. Turkey salad. All this kind of different stuff. Well, really, I said all that to say this kind of is a connection here with what's coming up and what I'm trying to say here. Amen. There's a little thing I want to focus on here, and it's these leftovers of the miracle. Amen. You remember when Jesus fed the multitude? Let me tell you something here. God don't waste time. God don't waste words. God don't waste energy. God don't waste anything. Can I hear an amen? And we got a record here in the Bible of Jesus feeding the multitude. Do you know that we have a greater record of that power, that act of Him than we have of any other miracle in the Scripture? In all 4 of the Gospels, we find Jesus feeding the 5,000. In 2 of the Gospels, we hear of Him feeding the 4,000.
in this text I read to you here tonight, in the 8th chapter of Mark, we have both of those miracles mentioned again. And in another gospel, they are both mentioned again. Amen. 10 times we've got a reference to Jesus' power to feed the multitude. I'm going to tell you something here tonight. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word which proceedeth out of the mouth of God. But I'm going to tell you something here tonight. God is not only interested in the spiritual needs of man, but He is interested in every need that we have here tonight. He wants to minister to the body. Can I hear an amen? Because many times it is an avenue to get into the soul. If I can feed them while they're hungry, then they might listen to me here in just a few minutes when I tell them I am the bread of life. Amen. If you come unto me, I'll feed you. Somebody say amen. I am that manna which came down from heaven. I will satisfy your soul. Have I not satisfied your bodies today? Let me tell you something. I can take care of your soul too. Aren't you glad for that? Amen. Don't tell me Jesus isn't a humanitarian. Don't tell me He's not occupied in the same type of thing that some of you were occupied in yesterday evening. Amen. By feeding folks that are hungry. Sometimes that's how you bridge the gap. And you get people to understand, I care about you. Amen. If we see our brother who is hungry and destitute of his daily food, and we pat him on the back and say, I love you. I'm going to pray for you. The Bible says, how dwelleth the love of God in you? It goes more than just praying. Sometimes it goes down to paying. Can I hear an amen? And taking care of somebody's need. Oh, God, help me to preach here tonight. Huh? But you know what? In this feeding of the 5,000, in this feeding of the multitude, there's something that Jesus does here that's unusual. Every one of these miracles are object lessons. They're designed to teach us the truth. We don't have a full record of all the miracles Jesus did. We've got a partial record. These are special ones. These are ones that He connected a spiritual truth and the Holy Ghost preserved to not only show us His ability to work in the natural realm, but there is a spiritual message that is connected to them all. Can I hear an amen? We find out with John Newton, who wrote Amazing Grace, that He not only can open the eyes of the naturally blinded, but He can open up the blinded eyes of our soul and make us see again. Somebody help me preach here tonight. There's something real interesting He does. When everybody's through eating, when everybody's full, He looks at the crowd. He looks at His disciples. And He tells them, this miracle is not yet over. I want you to take those baskets and I want you to go out there to that multitude and I want you to gather up those fragments that remain. Oh, God, help me to preach here. I want to preach here just a little while tonight on these leftovers, these fragments. Amen. I hope Friday, when you sit down and start to eat some leftovers, if you do, that you might remember something I'm trying to preach to you about here tonight. Amen. What's He trying to teach us? What's He trying to tell us? Amen. There's a message in this. Amen. I want to tell you, amen. First of all, the first message I want to tell you here tonight is simply this. God is able to do exceeding and abundantly above what we could ask, what we could think, and I might add tonight, what we even need. The power of God, amen, is greater than what our need is. The power of God is able to supply, amen, to where you can satisfy your need and there is something left over. Somebody say hallelujah.
Oh, God, help me here tonight.
I guess it's probably been close to 20. Well, it's been over 20 years ago. My. It's been probably 23 years ago. Amen. My mom, we was living down in London, Kentucky. And my mom decided she wanted to feed the preacher one day. Brother Gene Huff was the pastor back then. He's the one I got saved under. And there was a man who was working in our Christian school, Brother Malvin Holden. Brother Holden had 4 kids. Brother Huff had 5 kids. Amen. Mom decided she wanted to feed everybody. So she invites all our family over, all of their families over. And Mom's specialty is spaghetti and meatballs. So she gets out of a big cannon pot, you know, that you do your cannon in. I don't know how big that thing was. She fills that thing up with spaghetti. Mom makes homemade meatballs, amen, about the size of this microphone thing here. And, you know, she made 70 meatballs. All of this spaghetti. We ate until we was sick of spaghetti that day. They was putting spaghetti in bowls, in containers, sending it home. Brother Huff's teased her for years. We ate spaghetti, amen, for a good long while. Are you hearing me preach here tonight? Amen. There was more than what was needed. There was more than was what was needed. Somebody help me here tonight. I want to tell you something here in the house of God. There is more than what is needed. I think sometimes we look, amen, at our need and we feel like our need is so great. And we look at our portion and we feel like our portion is so meager. But I want to tell you something. Many times there's something we forget to add into the equation, and that is God. We got a little sister back in Indiana. She's in her 70s. I don't know, she may be closer to 80 now. Sister Dickerson. She's got to the place where, you know, she's getting feeble and having a hard time getting to church now like she used to. She was faithful in her day. She had a little job, Brother Nichols, that she did. She was faithful at her post of duty. You know, God's looking for somebody that's faithful. Can I hear an amen tonight? Amen. Her job was when they'd take up the offering, she'd count the money. Count the Sunday school money. She not only counted the Sunday school money, she counted the people that was there. They'd count them in the Sunday school room, turn it all in. We still got one of them little boards that you hang up, you know. And you put how many people's there today, and how many people was there last Sunday, and how many people was there Easter 5 years ago, and how many brought their Bibles, and how many brushed their teeth, and all that other stuff. Amen. You've seen those stuff. We still got one of them things. Amen. A lot of churches are getting away from it. But Sister Dickerson, her job was to do that. Amen. But she had an interesting practice. And you might think Sister Dickerson couldn't count. But she had an interesting practice. Amen. If we had 25 people there that day, Sister Dickerson would get 26 out. And she'd slide it up on the board. If we had 45 people there that morning, Sister Dickerson would get 46 out. And she slide it up on the board. What are you doing, Sister Dickerson? Is it that bad? Are you trying to encourage us so much that you're trying to stack the numbers? No, that's not what she's trying to do at all. What are you doing here? I only count 45. Yeah, but you're not counting what I'm counting. Can I hear an amen? I ain't got a big job. I ain't the one that keeps the church rolling. I've just got a little job. But I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do in my job. There's one thing I'm not going to fail to do, and that is count him out. Somebody say amen. When it comes time for me to count, there's one I'm counting on if nobody else is counting on him. Somebody say hallelujah. I think a lot of times we count on everything except God. We count 13 men and one loaf of bread, and we throw our hands up in despair and say, how in the world? I'm going to tell you what. Have you forgotten? Do you not remember? Amen. What he's done before. We need to take a trip down memory lane every now and then and remember what God's done for us. Let's not forget. Did you hear me tonight? Let's not forget. Let's not forget.
These fragments. These fragments. These broken pieces. These leftovers. Let's don't forget it.
Oh God, lift your hands right now and ask God to help us in this place tonight. I want to preach to you. I want to say something that will help you tonight. Oh God. Oh God. Oh God. Oh God. Oh God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Oh God. My wife just told you a story. I've told it many times. I've heard her tell it. About her mother-in-law. Or her mother, my mother-in-law. God help me here tonight. About her daddy. God love his heart. I want to see him get saved. Amen. But sinners are so blind, they don't realize what they're doing. He thought he had it all figured out. This car. One time he removed one of the spark plug wires or something in there. Amen. And my mother-in-law is not mechanical at all. Amen. She went out. She had the keys this time. She went out, but the key wouldn't start it. Amen. So she goes around, opens the hood up. She's not a mechanic. She sees something, looks like it's a part, and so she puts it together. Amen. I don't know if she got it together right or not, but I know the car started. Are you hearing me here? Hey, you can take the keys away, but if I'm counting on God, He's got the key of David, and He opens when no man shuts, and He shuts when no man opens. Can I hear an amen? If I'm counting on God, I don't care what's against me. Me and God are a majority. If God be for us, tell me who. Tell me who. Tell me who can be against us. Amen. You might be against us, but you will not prevail if God is for us. I want to make sure I count Him in. Hello? I want to make sure I don't forget Him. He's able to do it, friend.
Yes.
Huh? He's able to do more than the bare minimum. He's able to do the excess. The exceeding. The abundant. I came to give you life and that more abundantly. Come on, help me preach here tonight. Oh, let's don't forget that. Don't forget these baskets full. Amen. Don't hey, when Thursday comes rolling around, when Monday comes rolling around, let me tell you, God don't just give you enough to make it through Sunday night. He don't give you just enough to make it through Wednesday night. There is a supply that'll take you all the way home. There is an abundance. Somebody say hallelujah. I've stepped in the pulpit before, Brother Nichols. And I got to looking at the need. And then I got to looking at what I had. Huh? What are they? Among so many. Hello. But I've seen God get a hold of it. I just gave Him my few little fishes. And my few little loaves. And God got in it. And they started bringing baskets up. And every time they'd run a basket in front of the master, He'd... Oh, God, help me here. Huh? You talk about an encouragement for a preacher. Can you imagine here? Amen. I imagine Peter felt bold when he stood on the day of Pentecost because he realized even if he went before
the Lord with an empty basket. God would keep filling that basket with enough to satisfy 3,000. Hey, I've already seen Him feed 4 and 5. And that's just counting the men. That's not counting the ladies and the children. My God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus.
Oh, hallelujah. He's able. Did you hear me tonight? He is able. Oh, God. I think sometimes He lets us get down to a meager portion so we'll not trust in ourselves. But we'll trust in Him. You going to help me preach tonight? I'm trying to help you tonight. Huh? Don't forget about these. Don't forget about these fragments. These broken pieces. Let me read you something tonight. In John chapter 6. See, these fragments represent the power of God. And the power of God is greater than the need. Whatever it is, God's power. Preacher, that's so simple. How many times do we forget that? Come on now. How many times do we forget that? Look at this. John chapter 6, verse number 12. When they were filled, He said unto His disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. You got a pastor that's got a heart that is after the heart of God. How do I know it? I've not spent a lot of time around him, but I've spent enough time around him to know what his heart is really after. The lost. Oh, Jesus, help me to preach tonight. Huh? Sunday night, we had a word from the Holy Ghost exhorting us about the coming of the Lord. Oh, let me tell you, that comforts me that the Lord's going to come. Can I hear an amen? But I must admit to you, sometimes my heart sings the same refrain that your pastor's heart sang on Sunday night as he stood in this pulpit, amen, and reminded us, yes, the Lord is coming, amen, but there's some souls out there that are lost. It's a comforting thing for us to know. But friend, we also need to realize, amen, that our work, amen, still needs to be done. And if we ever needed to buckle down and work harder, we're living in the hour where we need to buckle down and work harder. Can I hear an amen? Hey, somebody help me preach here tonight. There's some souls out there that are lost. You know what we're tempted to do a lot of times? We're tempted to come and get our need met. Get our soul satisfied. If we're not careful, we're part of the multitude that says, feed me. Hey, we need to be part of the multitude that says,
feed me. Jesus wants us to look to Him. Come unto me, He said. Can I hear an amen? I'll give you water that you'll never thirst again. Somebody shout hallelujah. I'll put a river down inside of you. A river of living water. I am the bread of life. Thank God that He is. I've come many times with a hungry soul, and I've been satisfied. Amen. I found a blessing that I could not contain. I ate and ate and ate until I could not eat anymore. Huh? That's only half the message. It's only half the story. That's only half the reason that the church is here. If we're not careful, we'll get our hunger satisfied. We'll get our need met. And we'll take the leftovers and throw them on the ground and go on to the next dinner. I wish I could preach to you tonight. Just a minute here. Before you throw that piece down. Before you throw that broken loaf and that half-eaten piece of fish down. I don't want you to waste that. Gather it up. You know what we see here? We don't see the power of God. We see the heart of God. We see the purpose of Jesus' whole coming. We see the passion of Jesus' whole reason for being here. Get the lost. Get the lost. Oh my. Oh, help me, Lord. Give me wisdom right now. I was preaching in church one time, and the pastor kept talking about how it was a good location, how it was a building area, how things were growing, and his eyes were on everything that was material. Huh? God help us here. If we're not careful, we'll have the eyes of Saul. We'll want to go through the land, and if there's an able-bodied man, if there's a man that's promising, we want him. God help us here. You know what happened to Saul's army? He led the best downhill. Amen. There's some churches that are in select evangelism. Amen. But that's not how God built David's army. He sent him men that were in distress. Men that were in debt. Men that were in despair. They began to gather to a dark cave called Adullam. Amen. Broken men. Just fragments. Somebody help me here. Hey, I'm going to tell you what. There's some... These fragments represent lives. The whole reason they're here is because the Creator has formed them. Just like God took dust and breathed on it and made the first man. Jesus breathed a prayer on 5 loaves and 2 fishes and made enough to feed a multitude. All things were made by Him. This is the Creator. We're seeing Him in action. We're seeing creation right here before us. But let me tell you what these pieces are. They represent men. They represent women. Their lives are half eaten. They're half chewed up by sin and by time. But I'm going to tell you what, I want them. No matter what's left, I want them. I want them because I made them. Oh God, help me here. D.L. Moody preached a meeting one time. 3 people got saved. He went back. They asked him about it. They said, "How'd the meeting go?" "Oh God, help me here." He said, 2.5 got saved. 2.5, they chuckled. "Well, must be 2 adults and 1 child. No. 2 children and 1 adult. The children are the whole. A whole life was saved. Are you hearing me preach tonight? As well as the soul. Amen. The adults just had half a lot to give. Oh, God, help me. I'm going to tell you what. There's some pieces out there that aren't even half. I've seen some folks go down some pathways. And I've literally wondered if God don't stop them. I wonder if there's going to be any pieces left to pick up. But I've got good news for you. If there's just one piece, give it to me. Give it to me. We're not done with this. Take those baskets back out there, disciples. There's some broken pieces out there. There's some broken lives out there. You going to help me preach here? Oh, God, I need you right here. There's some folks out there that I am interested in. Sin has scarred them up. Sin has marred them up. They may not really be what they could have been. I don't know. I'm not the judge of that. But I'm here to tell you this. God wants them, no matter what condition they're in. Hey, I'm inclined to believe as long as there is breath, there is hope. Somebody say hallelujah. There's only one sin I know of that's unforgivable, and that's a blaspheming of the Holy Ghost. Somebody help me preach here tonight. Hey, I don't care how low in the depths of sin and despair some soul is sunk. I don't care how many teeth marks and scratches and mars of sin are on the lobes of some life. There is a Jesus that says, give it to me. I'll give beauty for ashes. The oil of joy for mourning. The garment of praise for a spirit. Oh, God, help me. You ever notice folks that were real deep in sin and they get saved? Sometimes they have the most zeal of anybody. Anybody ever know that? To whom is forgiven much, the same loveth much. Didn't the prophet Joel say, I will restore unto you the years that the palmer worm and the caterpillar and the canker worm ate up? How are you going to restore it? They're gone. Oh, God, help me here. I'm inclined to believe sometimes the way He restores it is by making that last portion so much sweeter and so much better that it makes up for everything that's gone. Somebody say hallelujah here. God. I'm sorry. I wish I could preach better to you tonight. I mean that. I really do. I really do. Lift your hands right now and pray God to help us. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, glory, 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 glory. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Oh, come, rasti vrivi kavra vasta vrata kavra. Stand with me all across this building tonight. Come on, Kim.
Pray for me right now, would you? Oh, God, help us tonight. Come on, saints, pray for me. Come on. Come on, I need you. Help me. Oh, Lord God, right now. If you'll give it to him, he can do something with it.
I went out on bus ministry one day. I don't know why I'm telling this. I just feel like telling.
Trying to get children to come to church. I know you're standing. I'm trying to hurry.
Met this woman.
And, oh God, help me here. You talk about a life that was tore up.
Her husband had been unfaithful. She got angry. Sinners. She retaliated. She copied his sin. In the midst of all of this sin, a new life was on the way. Here I am, a young man trying to get children to come on a Sunday school bus, and I'm faced with a question of whether or not to keep it or to destroy it. I did my best. I'm being vague, but I'm being plain at the same time. I did my best to counsel her and tell her there's different ways. There's foster homes. There's different ways. But they were at the point of trying to reconcile, and his term of condition was to do away with this problem in his mind. Make a long story short, she followed his advice. And they got back together. He wouldn't hardly ever speak to me when I'd go around and pick the children up. There was a wall there. Oh, God, help me here. God impressed me one Saturday morning with the text where Jesus said, I must needs go through Samaria. Oh, God, help me. I did a little fasting that morning, went out on my bus route, and I'm making a long story as short as I can. And God opened the door. I went up to that home. Rock and roll music was blaring out of the doorway, and for some divine reason, the mother didn't answer the door that morning, but the daddy did. And in the midst of conversation, he decided to come to Sunday school and church the next morning. Oh, God, help me here. Huh? I don't have a ride, he said. My car's broke down. I said, I got the perfect solution. I'll be by here in the morning with a big yellow bus. You get on it with your wife and children, and we'll go to church together. And he did. And he did. Providence had scheduled me to preach that morning. I never preached, amen. But Providence scheduled me, amen. I got up and preached 15 minutes on I must needs go through Samaria. There's a woman down there, Jesus said. They'll be surprised when I talk to her, but I'm going to talk to her because I care about her and I'm going to save her. You hear me preach here tonight, amen. Hey, I made an altar call that morning, and they stepped out of their pew and walked up to the altar and prayed and gave their lives to God. I wish I could tell you tonight that they stayed in church. They did for a while, and trouble came up and they got out. I said all that to simply say this: no matter what condition you're in, if you'll give it to God, God can and God will do something about it. Father, I thank you tonight for your word, for your spirit. Oh, God. Oh, God.
Dear Lord, dear Lord, dear Lord, dear Lord. I've got a situation in my life right now. And you don't know what it is. Just play real softly there, honey. I'm about done. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Some are already praying. I got a situation in my life right now. And it's not in as good a shape as it used to be. I'm not talking about sin. I'm just talking about situation. I've made some wrong decisions. I've done the wrong thing when I thought I was doing the right thing. Oh God, help me right now. I've just got some broken pieces. And there's some souls that are involved that are lost. Do you know what I feel like doing? I feel like giving these broken pieces to Jesus tonight and letting Him do something wonderful out of it. I've been praying for a good while now. Oh God. Oh God. Do something here. Do something here. Somehow. Get glory out of this situation. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here tonight, and maybe you've got a similar situation, or you felt God touch your heart in some other way tonight, but you'd like to bring something to Jesus here tonight. Would you slip a hand up and right back down? God bless you. God bless you. Would you meet me in an altar tonight as my wife is playing? Come on. Come on right now. Let's spend some time in prayer.
No
would you come?
One can bind the wounds with nails,
oh,
scarred hands.
Oh, Lord.
No one can touch you like Jesus can. No one can touch you like Jesus can. No one can give you peace, cannot understand. No one can bind the wounds with nails, scarred hands. No one can touch you like my Jesus can. No one can touch you like Jesus can. No one can give you peace you cannot understand. No one can bind the wounds with nails, scarred hands. No one can touch you like my Jesus can. Hands that touch the blind, the lame, they suffered so much pain from the world that cruelly pierced them. But from those hands flow liquid blood, power from above, bringing hope and restoration. No one can touch you like Jesus can. No one can give you peace you cannot understand. No one can bind the wounds with nail-scarred hands. No one can touch you like my Jesus can. No one can touch you like Jesus can. No one can give you peace you cannot understand. No one can bind the wounds with nail-scarred hands. No one can touch you like my Jesus can. Oh, how He loves you and me. Oh, how He loves you and me. He gave His life. What more could He do? Oh, how He loves you. Oh, how He loves me. Oh, how He loves you and me. Oh, how He loves you and me. Could He do? Oh, how He loves you. Oh, how He loves me. Oh, how He loves you and me. Tell them, even if they don't believe you, tell them. Even if they don't receive you, tell them that I love them. And I came to let them know. Tell them. Even if they don't believe you, tell them. Even if they don't receive you, tell them that I love them. And I came to let them know. Oh, tell them. Even if they don't believe you, tell them. Even if they won't receive you, tell them that I love them. And I came to let them know. Would you tell them? Even if they don't believe you, would you tell them? Even if they won't receive you, tell them that I love them. And I came just to let them know. Oh, would you tell them? Even if they don't believe you, would you tell them? Even if they won't receive you, tell them that I love them. And I came to let them know. Tell them. Even if they won't receive you, tell them. Tell them that I love them. and I came to let them know. Would you tell them